wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me, Wojciech Kalambasa, CEO of Panoskin. I can't believe I got that name right.
It's perfect. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Panoskin, and then I'm interested in learning more about your journey, because it is in my notes that you sold a car to start your first business.
I did, yep.
Which reminds me it's very much similar to my getting started, where I basically sold off all of my possessions on Craigslist. So this is like, I'm already excited. So talk to us a little bit about Panoskin and how that all came about, what it does, and then let's get into your journey a little bit.
Sure. So really simply put, Panoskin is a platform that is built on top of Google Maps that allows anyone to create virtual tours and post those virtual tours to Google Street View.
Okay.
So not a lot of people know, but so most people are familiar with Google Street View. You know what that is, right? The concept of cars driving around, taking pictures of the street.
Yep.
So a couple years ago, Google decided to go inside of properties. So now you can walk in from the street into a property.
I don't see any data problems there. No nightmares.
Yeah. So essentially, through our journey, we started off as LCP360. So 6 years ago, I sold my car. And
what kind of car was it? Just curiously.
It was a BMW M3.
What year?
Because 2005.
And you sold it in?
2010.
All right, so like you got hosed a little bit on the money, but like that's a nice ride.
I got hosed.
That's a nice ride though. I'm a BMW guy myself. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I did pretty well in the finance world. I worked for Bank of America for a while, but
a sponsor of this show.
Yeah. And but I saw an opportunity in creating 360 content and VR content, and so I kind of wanted to make the leap, and I did.
Tell me you're driving around in like a Porsche now or something or a bigger BMW. You can lie
Audi.
If it's not true. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so you stayed German. All right. I get it. All right.
I got an A7. I love it.
Nice. Oh, that's a nice car. Okay. So it was a good decision. That BMW is out and now we're moving on up. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keep going back to LCP360.
So we started LCP360, and really the turning point for us as a company or as a virtual tour provider was Google deciding to start this See Inside program. So basically what that did for us as we joined them is give us access to thousands of photographers pretty much overnight. So we went from being this like local Chicago-based virtual tour company doing virtual tours for guys like JLL, CBRE, now all of a sudden being able to offer this service nationally. So our presence just grew across the nation overnight. So really that was the big turning point. So then we sort of adopted this idea of Google See Inside. Google came out with this program. Basically what it is it allows companies to show off their space. So if you think of a restaurant or a bar or a hotel, really any kind of business that wants to show off the interior, they can put that virtual tour on Google Street View. So if you think about it, 90% or more searches start online, probably on Google, using a mobile device, right? So the first thing you see is Street View. And so now, instead of just seeing the street, you can actually walk inside the space. And what that helps with is local SEO for that business. So they have they get a boost there. They're able to keep these people enhanced and interested in the content longer. So we've run case studies with some of our clients like Pinnacle, where they've seen anywhere between like a 15 to 20% increase in engagement just off their Google Places pages having these virtual tours. So there's quite a lot of benefit to being on Google.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
So tell me kind of like in your own personal journey to this point, it doesn't sound like your background was in this.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was finance and sales.
Yeah, so not this.
No.
How did you decide on like this? Like, how did you identify this niche and be like, yeah, that's definitely something that we can pound on? Because again, like we talk about this with, for whatever reason, it always comes back to restaurateurs. Lots of traders end up in a restaurant because it makes sense. They look at it and they're like, these are things that are high value. The food itself changes in value, changes in price all the time based on farming and whatever else. And so they know that like if a good restaurant is 10%, they get 10% margins, that's a good restaurant. They know that if there's anything else that the average restaurateur can't control, and they can because of inside knowledge, they have a good chance of success. So when I see somebody like yourself who comes from a different background, I'm always curious as to like, what it was about this company or this idea that you were like, that is something that I can leverage my basic brain power on.
So I was a mortgage professional for 7 or so years. I started really young, and one of the things I offered to my realtor partners was support on the marketing end. Yeah. So I was always into like photography and, you know, doing stuff online, creating flyers and things like that. So one day I came across a virtual tour that was a real virtual tour, because the stuff that was out there back in 2007, 2008 was like these flat images, kind of, you know, dull sliding panoramas. And I came across this like fully spherical immersive image, and it was of a like cathedral in Europe, and I was like, instantly I wanted to know how they built this, because I was looking at these virtual tours for real estate that were here in Chicago and in the U.S. and I was like, this is just crap compared to what it can be. So I picked up on that technology, learned about it, and started doing these things for free for my agents. And once I got in front of enough agents, one, you know, pretty big a real estate company here in the in Chicagoland, he's like, you should charge for this. This is a great service. And it was like, you know.
So then I charged him. Yeah, I handed him an invoice. I left the door. The key here is, though, I hear this all the time on stuff here, on the media stuff we create. So they say that, and then do they become the first customer? Did they start paying you?
Actually, kind of funny. No, they did not.
They never do. This is going to sound like a stupid segue, but my mom and I were talking about this, not about your business, obviously, about how your first, whether it's your first employer, the first person you finally get that opportunity with, you almost never make your money with them, because they already got a taste of the freebie. And like, just even though it's a great product, it's like the idea that they have to pay for it afterward just never works out. It's, it's funny that continues, and that they're like, great idea, no one won't pay for it. That's not helpful. So how did you start scaling this then? If the first person said great idea, start charging for it, did you, like, how do you build a business around this?
So, well, we switched gears. We initially were in residential real estate, or I was in residential real estate, and then realized that realtors did not want to pay any money for marketing.
Yeah, it turns out selling, as a person who tried to sell apps to realtors at one point in my life, it goes very poorly.
Yep.
Residential realtors, and even commercial realtors to a point, there's just too many of them. Yeah. There's too many of them selling a limited number of houses. There's just not enough margin there.
Sure.
But interesting. So you move from that to
commercial. Yep. We started going after guys like JLL, CBRE. We got a few deals here. Merchandise Mart was actually our first client.
That's what a great client to have.
So there was Merchandise Mart. Then it became Sears Tower / Willis Tower.
Yeah. Hancock / No Name Tower.
Yep. So, but a few years back, we decided to switch gears. We started focusing in the multifamily space, and that's where we're kind of focused today.
Yeah.
So we work with some of the largest management companies in the U.S., just shooting virtual tours of high-end apartment housing. So if you think about someone that needs to make a move from like Chicago to D.C., right? So they start their search online. So these management companies need this kind of content online. So if I'm looking for an apartment in a different city, I can go in, I can check out all the amenities, I can walk through the entire building and make a decision sight unseen.
Yep.
And so that's what really virtual tours are helping people make decisions on, sight unseen leases, specifically for our industry. For other industries like restaurants, you know, whether or not, you know, you like the atmosphere and you want to book a table there or something like that.
Sure. I think there's a ton of application for it, especially as we get into, and this is something I'm betting on. I hope that this is going to become a real thing, not just because I have investments in it. But I think we're going to start moving away from everything being online social life and actually try to like do things physically again.
Sure.
And one of those, but with that is choices. There's more choices and more reach and access to choices than we've ever had in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so before we go and take that Disney World trip, or before I decide to try something new this year that I wasn't going to do, or before I go to, you know, Australia or whatever, I kind of want to see a little bit of what I'm going to experience, because that's going to really sell my trip. And the same thing can be said for homes. Like, I'm not going to go stay in an Airbnb and be like, oh, I don't know what the hell this looks like.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a need for this exact thing across almost everything that we do. So I absolutely see the growth potential for you guys. I mean, where you're going with this is literally being able to give me kind of a glimpse into what my day would look like around me.
Sure.
Which is really cool.
So I mean, the one thing that makes us unique is our platform, right? So we started off as this agency, and we're creating these virtual tours for these companies across the U.S. But because we were so involved with Google and in this program, we actually got access to a Street View API that not a lot of companies got access to.
Yeah.
And we were able to build a tool that allows us as a enterprise, let's say, provider to upload our imagery directly to Google Maps, and then customize those tours and create these custom experiences that then live on their website or their social media.
Yeah.
And what we just did in April of last year, Google announced that Street View is now open to anyone that wants to publish to Google Maps. But at the same time, they took away the platform that they were originally offering to the community.
So said that had to be a day for you. Like at the beginning of the day, it was kind of an oh shit day, and then yeah. It turned into a oh whoa, we just got like a super advantage actually.
So that became the opportunity. That was our like latest turning point, right? So now we have this platform that initially was an internal tool, and now we just made it a public tool to anyone that wants to create this content.
Yeah.
And so since April, we've onboarded about 5,000 photographers onto our platform across 6 continents, and they're producing about 7,000 tours a month through our platform.
So you don't have like a lot of hosting charges or anything.
No. So we maintain PanelSkin, and then you know the code is pretty lightweight. So
that's awesome. Very cool. What do you see as like the like? Obviously, I kind of pontificated on where I could see some of the application go, but where do you strategically see the most use case of this technology being case? Or are you already thinking of like another thing that is another company that you're on this? Like where are you on as an entrepreneur?
You know what? We're hoping to continue to enhance the product that we have, especially on the custom side. So the tours that live on Google, they're very canned experiences, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of these companies that we work with, they want something special, something that matches their brand, something unique. You know, VR right now is a huge thing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants VR.
You could hang pictures of my family in my new house in D.C.
Yep. Well, and so the difference between what we can do, so we do a lot of work in 3D modeling as well, and like some in augmented reality as well, but photography-based 360s are sort of like they're not really VR, but it sort of is. You can kind of have that experience if you put on the Google Cardboard or put on the Vive. So a lot of the stuff that we're already shooting can be repurposed to create that experience. So, you know, we're hoping to put a little bit more effort into that, into more just customization and not only that, but being able to track what people look at, right? So people are engaged with these tours, and now we're just scratching the surface as to what we can capture while, let's say, you are in a virtual tour, right? We could tell what you're looking at, how long you've stayed there, you know, where you came from. And so as that becomes more granular, you know, customers of ours will be able to make better decisions.
Well, it was a question I was going to ask you about 5 minutes ago that I'm going to bring back to the last question for you then. What is, and speaking, if you don't have this information, it's fine, but what when I walk into that virtual two-over house or condo or high-rise, whatever it is, what is the very first thing or the most common thing that people focus on?
Typically, it's the kitchen.
Is it really?
Yeah. People look at the kitchen quite a bit. And it's actually interesting. Most people do tend to bypass all amenities, so specifically for multifamily, bypass all amenities, go straight to the model units.
That doesn't surprise me at all, though, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know what a basketball hoop looks like.
Yeah.
Like you got indoor court, you got a pool. I know what a pool like. What floor is it on?
Sure.
Is it like Soho House or is it like an inside? Like, you know what I mean? Like that's not going to kill me. But is the kitchen open and can I see my kids and yada, yada, yada. The other one I would think I personally, this is going to sound stupid, I would gravitate right to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I want to know what does that shitter look like? How much room are we dealing with? Like I want to know what we got here.
Sure.
But that's just me. Yeah. I don't know. Well, how about you? What's the most important thing for you?
I mean, I'd have to go with the kitchen living room area, you know, like just where I'm going to hang out most of the time. But it's interesting because the industry puts a lot of focus in amenitization, right? The amenities and how do we market these amenities? And most people gravitate towards something completely different.
That's amazing to me. Well, I guess that speaks well to all of the design companies that sell granite because every single kitchen is stainless steel and granite now everywhere. Yeah. Onyx. So those guys are crushing, obviously.
Yeah.
Very cool. This is interesting. I like this a lot. Congratulations on the success.
Thank you.
Congratulations on upgrading your car. I think it's important. I know it sounds kind of stupid, but it's like there's a few token things that I've found with entrepreneurs where like they gravitate, like I'm a car guy or I'm, you know, I know a guy who collects guitars. And you can tell on the success of where they are, not just because they bought an expensive thing, but because they were able to continue to like scale.
Sure.
They scale back, start a business, scale up higher level every time.
Well, you know, I did it originally and I got the M3 because it just, it got me to wake up every morning and want to work.
It's a cool car.
I mean,
was it a convertible or was it the
coupe?
Oh, I mean, nice. Coupe all day long. Yeah. I mean, got an M3. like the sound of the M3 was that, and especially that one. It was the first one they came back out with the revamped tight nose on the end of the car. It was just awesome.
Yeah. It was the last line of the E46s.
Yeah. So. It's a good car. Man. Nice. Well, Audie it is for today. Very cool. Thank you, Wojciech,
you got it.
For coming into the show. You're welcome back anytime to talk about this stuff. Keep us updated on this, because as I said before, I think that the change in how we experience things on and offline is just literally in its infancy, I think, compared to where we were looking at random pictures and like taking a selfie. Like, this is a different world. Yeah. So thank you so much for taking the time. And where do people go to learn more about using it and that sort of stuff?
Just panelskin.com.
Okay, very easy. Panelskin.com. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. You can download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.